This episode of Scorebook Live today is brought to you by Washington Federal, a proud partner of Scorebook Live. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch. Scorebook Live today podcast. It's May 15th, 2019. It's a Wednesday and the final day of the spring signing period. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with Scorebook Live, here with Dan Dickow. Dan, how you doing?
Things are well. The weather's finally switched, which has been great because you're following all the spring sports, whether it's track and field, some of the golf tournaments now, just wrapping up the district tournaments, or baseball, softball. There's very little rain delays going on across the state right now, so it's been nice.
We're going to talk a little bit about Jaden McDaniels. Today is the last day, like I said, of the spring signing period for high school athletes signing their letters of intent to play in college. Jaden McDaniels, of course, has the much-awaited decision in the state of Washington this year, and he could make it today. He doesn't have to make his decision by the end of today. We'll talk, plenty about that. And then a development with Lyndon Christian's four-star wing, Cole Bajema. What happened to his college recruitment process, which we thought was over but could potentially not be, with some news breaking early in this week about Michigan head coach John Beilein. So to kick things off, Jaden McDaniels is still uncommitted. There is no update, really, as of today, as of right now, when we're recording at 1:49 p.m., and granted, that could change. Dan, what are you hearing about Jaden McDaniels? And you know, he's down to, from what I understand, Kentucky and Washington. And what are some of the pros and cons of him fitting in each of those programs?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting just how quiet everything has been in regards to his recruitment. You took a look at, most guys who are talked about as being potential one and done McDonald's type all Americans. There's a ton of hoopla about them, and many a times in this day and age, their group is searching for some of that attention. That's kind of been the exact opposite here. Jaden McDaniels is anybody that follows high school basketball in the sport in the state of Washington knows he's a pretty shy kid, stays to himself. Tremendous work ethic, really likes to stay in the gym and work on his game, as well as his family and those closest to him, his high school coach, his AAU coaches, and his trainers have kind of really kept things quiet and under wraps. That's the way they've chosen to do it, and you've got to respect that, although at the same time, it's created quite a bit of suspense. You look at, and you talked about, it looks like it's down to two schools, University of Washington and Kentucky. And when we touched on his recruitment in the podcast last week, I believe we mentioned the five or six schools. But these two schools are the ones that make the most sense. University of Washington, right in your backyard, a program that is on the rise under Coach Hopkins, who will be entering his third year. They've got the number one recruit in the country, James Wiseman from Memphis, who's going to be there. Why not join forces on an up and coming program? He'd fit in very well with his length and athleticism in that 2-3 zone. And the fact that he wouldn't be maybe the most highly recruited recruit in the class maybe takes a little bit of pressure off of him. And then if you look at Kentucky, anybody in the last 10 years wants to be a one and done, Coach Calipari has recruited them hard, and he's had success with those guys. And so that's why I think those two are the most logical destinations. I think the interesting thing up to this point, though, is how come there hasn't been a decision yet? And I think you have to look at, what the difference is between signing a letter of intent, which that signing for a letter of intent period ends today on May 15th, versus signing a financial aid agreement. And the letter of intent essentially is a contract, and the athlete's going to be bound to the school even if the coach leaves. Now, if you look at you know, all six of the schools, but in particular the two that are left in his recruitment, I don't think you need to necessarily worry about any of those coaches leaving, you know, because it's so late in the game. None of those coaches are from any interest levels that I've heard going to be going to the NBA, like the next player that we're going to be talking about, Cole Bajema, and his intended destination. But, you know, that's the national letter of intent. You're bound to the school, even if a coach leaves. Now, if he waits another day and then announces his decision, he could sign a financial agreement, and essentially that gives him the ability to get out of his decision. And one of the reasons this, to me, makes a lot of sense is he's being recruited by University of Washington. They've got a wing in Jalen Nowell, who has already declared for the draft. And by all intents and purposes, he's going to stay in the NBA draft. But what if, you know, he decides to come back and not stay in the draft? Well, there's potentially 25 to 35 minutes at UW at the wing position that's going to go right back to Jalen Nowell. And if you look at Kentucky, it's a very similar concept right there. And you look at the two wings at Kentucky, Tyler Hero as well as Keldon Johnson, are two players that have declared for the NBA draft. Now, I don't know if they have signed with an agent, but the interesting thing with an agent now in the NBA is you can sign with an agent to help you guide through the process, and you can still back out up until a certain date, which has yet to happen. So those, I think, are the two last kind of things that are probably going through Jaden McDaniel's mind and his family and advisors of what they're trying to sort out right now. So I personally don't think we're going to see an announcement today. Would I love to see one? Absolutely, without a doubt. And I know Andy, you as well as Todd Millis will be one of the first to report it once we know anything. But I honestly think it's going to go on a few more days until he gets out of the letter of intent signing period.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point you bring up about just kind of waiting to see where the chips fall with certain guys, whether they're coming back, whether they're staying. With the two programs, you know, there are kind of balls up in the air, like you were saying. How much does that really affect his season? You know, Jaden McDaniels is a guy who is pretty much a consensus projected top five pick in the 2020 draft. I think ESPN has him as the number one pick, although it's really early and there's still a lot to a lot of basketball to be played. But what does that change in his year in college, his presumed year in college, if a guy comes in and is basically, does that make him want to kind of maximize his 1 year even more, do you think?
I mean, there's a couple ways you can think about it. I mean, one, you want to, I would hope that you want to go to a school based upon an opportunity to win games as well. Now, if you look across the country now with, you know, how many of the AAU scenes are run and the recruiting is it's not geared towards winning. It's geared towards attention and getting yourself an opportunity to get to the next level at the AAU to college. And it's to a certain extent, you know, that AAU has bled into people making a college decision to based upon to get them in a position to maybe get to the next level. So, you know, you got to balance out whether winning is of value to who's making the decision. And me personally, I hope it would be, because if you think about it, any NBA front office is, they can see your talent regardless, but you can also learn so much by being in a setting where you're being challenged every day. If these potential gut players return, you can also be challenged in a situation where you have to buy into the culture of winning, and that's what I think Kentucky and UW both have, although UW is transitioning to that, where Kentucky's is built on winning, seemingly forever. But, you know, for example, with the UW situation, if Jalen Nowell were to come back and Jaden McDaniels were to go to UW, I think it would help both of those players because they would have the opportunity and ability to go at it in practice, work out together, and then, you know, you would enhance the team to be put in a position to win games that much more. I think you can look at the exact same at Kentucky. If he were to go there and a Tyler Hero and a Keldon Johnson or both of them were to come back, you know, so there's multiple ways to look at it. And again, I don't think he can make a wrong decision at this point. It's more a decision of preference. Does he want to stay close to home where maybe, you know, there's a little bit more attention put upon him or time expectations to family or friends versus getting away, getting to Kentucky where, you know, he's going to be around, you know, guys who've helped people get through the one and done and know what that process is all about. So to me, it's fascinating. I wish we would have an answer by now, but I also can, like I say, I can understand why they've waited.
Todd Millis, reporter with Scorebook Live, who we'll talk to in the next segment, has a story up on the website, www.sblivewa.com. We'll get more in with that on Todd, but it really just echoes. You know, he talked to Jaden's high school coach, Yada Reed, and it just kind of echoed some of the things we've talked about, just about how quiet this recruiting process has been. You know, there's speculation, of course, you know, the two fan bases of Kentucky and Washington, you know, there's so many people who, you know, want to know and have a vested interest in this decision. But it just doesn't seem like really a lot of people do have any sort of inkling.
Yeah, it's, you know, credit to, you know, his family and credit to him and his high school coach, his AAU coach, and everyone else who's in his quote-unquote inner circle is, you know, I'm sure they've got a checklist of things that are important to him, and they're trying to be very meticulous in making this decision. And so at the end of the day, you hope that they help him make the correct decision for him, both for near-term success, but more importantly, to be honest with you, for long-term success. Because as you mentioned, you know, he is mentioned towards the top of the list, even as the potential number one pick in a number of mock drafts down the road. You know, you definitely want to see a young man like him make the correct decision, both for short and long-term reasons.
Absolutely. So transitioning, not only is Jaden McDaniels, you know, one of the top guys or the top guy in the state, top basketball player, but there's, you know, another just north of Federal Way who has an interesting fold to a college decision that looked like it was kind of all tied up and all done, wrapped up, and had a bow on top of it, and that's Lyndon Christian's Cole Badgema. A four-star recruit, according to 24/7 Sports, two-time 1A State Player of the Year. He's a 6'7" wing, and he has signed his national letter, or his letter of intent, with the University of Michigan. He's got a fascinating recruiting process, and just a story of how he ended up committing and signing with Michigan is something that I had been looking into before Monday's news. On Monday morning, Michigan coach John Beilein left Michigan. He has become the next head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Beilein's got a fascinating story, really climbing the coaching tree from the high school level, and he's going to give his give a shake at the you know, the pinnacle of coaching, and so that leaves Badgema in a really interesting position, having already signed his letter of intent. What does that mean for him that he's already signed? Can he back out now, Dan?
Well, again, it goes back to he has signed the letter of intent, and he must ask for a release from the school. And if the school and the athletic department do not want to release him from the letter of intent, he's kind of put in a bad spot. You know, I would hope that if he does want to leave Michigan, that they would allow him to transfer or sign with a new school with no restrictions, which unfortunately sometimes schools will put restrictions on somebody when they're asking for a release from their letter of intent or they're asking for a transfer. You know, but I think if you look at his recruitment, you know, he's been a very good player here in the state of Washington for a number of years. But his recruiting really started picking up last spring, early summer. He had a number of really high-level programs, you know, not just in the Northwest, schools like Washington, but also schools like Virginia and Louisville, I believe, were also kind of in the mix until Michigan came on board. And Michigan, because his family used to live in Michigan in kind of the first few years of Cole's life, he lived back there. You know, Michigan had that upper hand. When Michigan started the recruiting process, you know, that became almost an instant match made in heaven for Cole Bajuma, from what I've been told, what I've heard, because that was his dream school all along. So now he'll have a decision to make of, okay, you know what, Michigan's always been my number one priority, my number one school. I'd love to go there. But a big part of it, I can only imagine, was Coach Boeheim, because he is one of the best coaches in the NCAA over the last however many years. With him moving on, I'm sure he's going to take his time and see who they bring in as an assistant, who comes in and takes over as the head coach. Maybe it's one of the assistants that moves over to the lead chair. Maybe it's a college coach from another program, or maybe it's an NBA guy. I've seen the name Juwan Howard mentioned on a few occasions in some different articles. And so, you know, I think there that family, and I know you had a great story on SBLiveWA.com a couple days ago, is, you know, that family is going to, you know, take a step back, wait to see what happens, look at everything, and then they'll make their final decision. So, you know, I think he's in a position similar to Jaden McDaniels, where he's got a great opportunity in front of him. Just a little bit of patience, and they'll make the right one, I'm sure.
You know, I spent much of Monday on the phone on this story, speaking with his high school coach at Linden Christian, Roger DeBoer, and his AAU coach at Friends of Hoop, Donald Brady. And then later in the day, his father, Shane Bajuma. And, it's really fascinating, just his entire recruiting story, which I'll get a little bit more into in a second. But something that fascinated me was the interesting thing when Cole woke up. This obviously took them by surprise. It took the University of Michigan by surprise. It took a lot of college basketball fans by surprise. But Cole had to go, and 2 hours after he found out this news, he had to go to school and he had to give his senior presentation, his big senior presentation, and he was doing it on his life story and his journey to signing with the University of Michigan. So just the irony of waking up and, you know, kind of his dad said, you know, he kind of had to improvise at the end, and, you know, credit to him, because he just kind of stood up there, gave his presentation, and really, really delivered that in a time where he's going to have to, there could be some change coming up. And so one of the first things that his father did on Monday was just call the NCAA to make sure that he wasn't doing anything wrong with the national letter of intent. And I found that really interesting, because, you know, there's so many rules and regulations in the recruiting process. And, you know, for a parent to just say, okay, you know, let's stop. The phone's ringing off the hook from everyone left and right, from media, from, you know, our coaches. And I'm just going to call the NCAA, make sure I'm not doing anything wrong. He does that. They have a conversation with Coach Boeheim. They have a conversation with the two assistant coaches who are closest to Cole throughout the process. Saadi Washington was one of them, who they had kind of inferred that, they said that Boeheim had inferred that he had kind of put in a good word for Washington to be promoted to be head coach. And so you have kind of an interesting process now where I don't believe he's ever had a head coaching job in college. And so do you stay with a program for that promotes a coach who you already have a good relationship with, even though that wasn't what you were intending going in? Or, do they, you know, go after someone who fits kind of more of that player development role like Coach Boeheim? Because Cole Bajuma is a guy who, ask anyone, his best days are ahead of him.
Yeah, you bring up a really interesting point. There's as a young player and a coach that you've committed to and you're expecting to play for, kind of unexpectedly leaves, you're now in a position where there may be some uncertainty in your own mind. You might have to be, you know, you might be asking some questions. You're going to definitely be trying to figure it out. You know, I actually had a similar situation and circumstance after my senior year before I became a freshman at the University of Washington. The assistant coach at the University of Washington, Ray Giacoletti, who was the main coach who recruited me during my process, it was late in July, early August, he got his first opportunity as a head coach at the Division II level. And so he went off to North Dakota State. And so now I was getting set to leave to go up to school at University of Washington in a few weeks. And the coach that I was closest to throughout the recruiting process and that I thought was going to have my back and who was going to kind of really help me through the ups and downs of my college career early was no longer going to be there. And so I can see that as something similar for Cole Badgema and his family is, okay, you know, Coach Beilein, who we felt we were going to play for the next 4 years, is no longer there. Well, what about these assistants who also spent an enormous amount of time developing a relationship, recruiting, selling the vision of Michigan, how he would fit in at Michigan? Are they going to be there, and are they going to have Cole's back potentially either as the head coach or if a new coach were to come in and retain them on staff? So, you know, those are just some of the thoughts that Cole and his family are going to have to kind of sort through as Michigan kind of figures out what they're going to do with their head coaching position. But, you know, so many times these are the backdrop stories that, you know, many people don't see in regards to, you know, high school athletes being recruited to the next level. And how does it play into the coaching carousel at the next level? And does it affect people? And it absolutely does.
And for Badgema, I mean, he certainly committed to a coach who he really believed in and had a great deal of respect for. But at the same time, you know, he didn't just commit to University of Michigan and sign with them because of Jean Beilein. He has a connection, a familial connection to the University of Michigan. He grew up until he was about 4 years old in Grand Haven, Michigan. That's where he was born. His dad went to Western Michigan, and they still have a lot of family out there. You know, he grew up, even though, you know, he spent the majority of his childhood growing up in Washington, they still kept that fandom and that allegiance to the University of Michigan. And so, you know, the school and, you know, beyond the basketball program from an academic standpoint, his dad was saying, and there's just so many things about that school, that state, and that community that do mean a lot to Badgema. And so it's going to be interesting to see. He's got a lot to weigh, and certainly, you know, they've taken the approach of saying, you know, we're not going to make any decisions until we see what Michigan does next.
Yeah, and I think that's the exact correct decision is, you know, don't jump the gun and see who they bring as the head coach. If it's one of the assistants that you've already got a great relationship with and it's still your dream school, absolutely, that's probably where you should stay. You know, but at the same time, you look at the other list of schools that were right there in the mix with him until Michigan came about. I mean, if something were to happen, he'll have plenty of options and plenty of good options, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. His recruiting really took flight in July last summer over a two-week stretch on the AAU circuit, and it really came to head at this Las Vegas tournament, and Michigan was the last team to offer him. And, you know, it was kind of the golden goose. You know, his AAU coach was essentially telling other schools, you know, when Virginia got involved, they eventually offered. When, you know, when Washington got involved, they offered. Their AAU coach was saying, you know, hey, look, you know, you guys, he really respects you guys, but if Michigan offers, it's going to be a fight for second place. You know, this is going to be his school. So at the same time, you have on Monday, just in talking to his high school coach, just a little bit over text, and his AAU coach, schools cannot reach out to Bajima or the Bajima family directly. It's against NCAA rules once he signed his letter of intent. That being said, you know, a couple hours after that news broke, his AAU coach had told me that they've already heard from around 10 schools. So there's going to be plenty of interest in him if he decides that he wants to reopen his recruitment.
Yeah, and you know that's a interesting comment you said is due to NCAA rules, they cannot contact him or his family directly. But let's face it, any good college coach has a relationship with the player, the family, the high school coach, the AAU coach. That's just the nature of how things work. You know, but it'll definitely be fascinating to see how this one plays out, too. I'll say this on record a number of times. Everything that I've heard about him, he's got a phenomenal future ahead of him, and he's got some great options if he decides to leave Michigan. But at the same time, let's stay tuned and hear what their final decision is.
Absolutely, and the latest on not only Cole Bajima's recruitment, but the Jaden McDaniels saga, you can find the latest on SBLiveWA.com. Dan, I appreciate you taking the time out of your Wednesday, and we will pick up where we left off next week with hopefully some more news.
Absolutely, it'll be interesting to see if anything happens in regards to both of the two basketball players we spoke of. You know, but it's also going to be interesting. People get a chance, go to SBLiveWA.com. For a lot of your coverage, a lot of Todd Millis's coverage on spring sports right now. I mean, it's in full gear with playoff action across all sports, track and field, golf, baseball, softball. You know, I just look back to my high school time and think about how many different sports friends were in and how you could support them and be involved with them. And you know, what we're doing is really unique. And, you know, we're trying to bring as much attention as possible to communities, schools, players, programs, coaches across the state.
You know, the exciting part about spring is that unlike fall, where football is dominant, and the winter, where basketball is dominant, you know, you've got some championships coming up in track, in baseball, in softball, in soccer. And, you know, there are going to be a lot of exciting storylines that we will have covered for you on SB Live WA. And so after the break, we're going to come back and talk to reporter Todd Millis. And he's going to talk a little bit more about his Jaden McDaniels story. And we will break down some more spring sports coverage for you coming up next. Want to stay connected to your local high school sports program? Head to iTunes and download Scorebook Live's speedy and free live scoring app. Search Scorebook Live, smash that download button, and get started today. And for statewide high school sports coverage across the state of Washington, head to SBLiveWA.com. There you're going to find extensive reporting, feature stories, and engaging digital journalism. Follow SBLiveWA on Twitter and Instagram to stay in the know, and like Scorebook Live on Facebook. Next up, we've got Todd Millis. Back to the show. All right, and welcome back to our second segment of the Scorebook Live Today podcast, recorded on Wednesday, May 15th. And I say that because, for a lot of reasons, I mean, mainly, Jaden McDaniels might commit anytime, making everything we say irrelevant. On the line, I've got Todd Millis, fellow reporter, Scorebook Live. Todd, how you doing?
Yeah, you mentioned May 15th. It almost feels like a national holiday here, the last day of the regular signing period. And there are a lot of folks who are very interested in where Jaden McDaniels ends up. University of Washington, Kentucky, Texas, overseas, the YMCA. I mean, I know you and I have been staking this out. We've been staking this out, and quite frankly, I'd rather this news break sooner than later.
I believe you. At this rate, I mean, it looks like, you know, it might be a holiday, but no one's getting any presents.
No. Well, Jaden McDaniels and the college that he chooses, if that's the route he goes, they'll feel like they're getting lots of presents, at least for the 1 year he's in college. Now, reporter-wise, no, it doesn't feel like we're getting any presence at all. In fact, right now, the longer we wait, it feels like we have coal in our sock.
So you talked earlier this week to Yada Reed, the interim head coach of Federal Way. What did he have to say, and what was kind of the sense you got? What did you learn from your conversation with him?
Yeah, he kind of echoed a lot of what a lot of people who claim they're close to the Federal Way program. Now, Yada spent the last year as the interim coach, like you said, as Jerome Collins has been on indefinite leave suspension. And long story short, I don't think he really knows. I've heard people tell me that his mom doesn't even know. That's how private Jaden McDaniels is about this next step. That's how secret he's been. I think there.
When you say his mom, you mean Jaden's mom doesn't even know.
Jaden's mom doesn't even know. Correct. Jaden is a very low-key, reserved young man. I think there are three or four people in his inner circle that he would trust with any sort of truth. But I think when it comes to this, he's been very careful. And that's sort of created a vacuum. Others have sort of spoken on his behalf, sort of misled people. I know the Kentucky fans are following every word on social media from anybody, including his handler, including teammates, including Jaden himself twisting his words. Washington fans are probably a little guilty of this. So we're just going to have to wait and see what he says. And we know it's going to be brief. We know it's going to be likely published on social media. We're just going to have to wait and see what he says to end all the speculation.
You know, as we could go on and on about this, but it's just, in reality, there's just only so much that we know. And, you know, there's no guarantee, like we talked about with, Dan Dickow in the last segment, that he'll even make a decision today. You know, the spring signing period ends, but he can still sign a financial aid agreement with any school he chooses.
Correct. And many people have pointed this out with the draft rules, with people having the ability to kind of wade into the waters of the NBA draft and then retreat if they don't like what they hear, their draft grade. Surely, I mean, if you were in Jaden's situation and KG about, you know, your pro prospect and your opportunities, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you wait to see what happens until the NBA draft and beyond and then make a decision? So, but Yana Reed thought that he would make a decision before signing day. We still have a few hours to go. He's probably just getting out of school. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here with Jaden McDaniels, and the sooner he can make a decision, I think the better off we're all going to be, and probably better off he's going to be as well. But you're right, he can take it as far as he wants, as long as he wants, and before he makes a decision.
When you, after you talked to Yada on, was that Monday or earlier this week, I called up Bill Backamas, head coach at Mark Morris, I think the winningest active coach in Washington boys hoops at the moment. But he coached Jaden McDaniels in the Northwest Shootout, and this was a roster that, you know, he meticulously put together. And so, you know, his experience, I found it interesting. He just said, you know, I came away really impressed with Jaden. You know, he's a shy guy. He's not your typical kid who's full of himself. These are his words, not mine. And he says, you know, when you're, shy people are shy people. And Backamas loved that about him. And, you know, on the court, he says there's these moments he plays and you're just sitting there going, oh, my God. And, you know, if anyone in the state of Washington, anyone who's seen him play at the high school level, at the AAU level, you know, in these showcases, I think can agree with that. You know, he's a guy who can come in and contribute immediately in college. And I think, you know, there's a reason that these programs are really patiently awaiting this decision to get him, even if it's just for a year.
I think basically what you're saying is he's worth waiting for. And, you know, I don't think these colleges are giving up on him by any means. just because he hasn't announced on the last day of the signing period. Now, let me address two things in terms of his personality. Yeah, I mean, let's not mistaken shy and low-key, reserved with mean-spirited, arrogant, any of that stuff. He really is a nice young man. Now, I've only talked to him a few times when I was at the News Tribune. He came in for our all-area shoot. You know, he just doesn't have a whole lot to say. Now, I've been told in his inner circles he's really funny. He's really engaging. He just doesn't show that side a lot publicly, even to his fellow students at Federal Way High School, I've been told. So there are other guys who have shown similar communication, low-key communication skills, who have actually had a really mean personality. And I won't name names, but he's not one of those guys. In terms of what he brings to the basketball court, yeah, I think the knock on him, the one nitpick with him, is we'd like to see it more often. When he wants to play basketball, when he's motivated, he is a lot of fun to watch. There aren't a whole lot of things people can do defending him that can stop him. But you don't see that maybe often enough for most people's liking. And I'm one of those guys that agree with that. I wish I could see a more consistent effort from him, you know, game to game, week to week. And like you said, I mean, when he wants to play, there aren't too many people in America in high school right now playing basketball who are more explosive, more talented, more cagey than he is.
No doubt. And if there's any updates, any news, you be sure to find that again on sblivewa.com. You know, follow each of us. You know, Todd, you're on Twitter at Many Hats Millis. I'm at Andy Bueller. And so, you know, we will be keeping you updated. And I know, you know, I know you've lost some sleep over this, Todd. And I would anticipate that, you know, if you're gonna get it somewhere, you know, come to sblivewa.com. There's some good insight there.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken up a lot of our week, and it's been a long time since I've had to worry about a high profile football, basketball, baseball player's commitment, like I've had to with Jaden. But like I said, I'd sure like to see some resolution, some closure to this, and we can all move on to something else.
We can all get our Kentucky hats or our UW hats and be on our merry way.
Yeah, I think maybe we can, in the meantime, while we wait, we can just kind of rehearse if Jaden were to hold a press conference. I can bring the Kentucky hat, you bring the UW hat and the Texas hat, and we'll just kind of rehearse what Jaden would do if he actually thought about holding something like that publicly. I think we could come up with some pretty cool switcheroos and tricks of the trade with those hats, man.
A little fake handoff, misdirection.
Exactly. You know, they do it to us. Why can't we do it to ourselves or other people?
So outside of McDaniels, you know, there's a lot going on. Obviously, spring sports postseason is starting to come to a head. You have an interesting story that I want to ask you about on a kid who, similar to McDaniels, is already being talked about as a really, really high draft pick in the upcoming MLB draft. And that's Corbin Carroll of Lakeside. What did you learn about Corbin Carroll this past week?
A lot. I don't follow a whole lot of high school baseball. I did some research on him, but most importantly, I talked to some coaches, primarily coaches in the Metro League up in Seattle, who have faced him not only this year, but over the years. And I found their stories fascinating. This young man, I've learned, is very, very, very aggressive and very, very, very fast. You do not want to put him on the base paths. You do not want to give up a hit. You do not want to cheat on him when he's in the batter's box, because he has sneaky power, unbelievably strong wrist, and he can really motor around the bases. And similarly, when he's playing defense, he pretty much catches anything that's in his area, right center, left center, right at him. So it sounds like, you know, we're talking about, even though he's only 5'10 and 160 pounds, we're talking about a very refined five-tool baseball player who's probably going to be selected in the first 20 picks of the first round in the MLB draft in June. So, you know, it was funny hearing coaches talk about him, chuckle about him, wish him well, glad they don't have to face him anymore since his high school career is over. They were eliminated in their district tournament at Lakeside. So a real fun story to write, and hopefully for fans of the website and baseball, a real fun story to read as well.
Definitely. And, you know, the upcoming MLB draft, if you're a fan of baseball, if you're, you know, if you have a connection to if you want to watch the MLB draft, which is on, I think it's Monday through Wednesday, like June 3rd through 5th, which is coming up here in a couple weeks. If you live in Washington, you're going to have a reason to, you know, be rooting for this draft and be watching this draft for you know, an in-state kid to potentially hear his name really high. And, you know, he'll have a decision to make after that, a really compelling one. He's committed to UCLA, which is, you know, a top-notch baseball program in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, he's a center fielder. So, you know, that's where usually the best defensive outfielders play. And, you know, he must have liked the story okay, because he's agreed to do an interview about the whole draft process here in the next week or so. So I'm actually looking forward to kind of meeting him in person and talking with his parents and kind of getting a feel for him a little more on a personal level, and kind of doing another story on him before the draft hits.
Are you teasing content?
I'm promising content.
Well, you know where to find that, SBLiveWA.com. Be sure to follow along this weekend. We'll have, you know, all your updates for the district softball, first rounds of state baseball, and you know, there will be plenty to follow along with. A couple pieces on the site up right now. There's a piece on the top outfielders in the state baseball of this past year. There's a couple of baseball softball features, one on a Southwest Washington pitching rivalry at the 2A level that is potentially the best pitching duel in the state, and those teams will be featured within the next couple weeks on the big stage of the state tournament. So you know where to find that. You know where to find us. On Twitter at SBLiveWA and Facebook at Scorebook Live Washington. So be sure to find us there.
Well, thanks for having me on my SB Live podcast debut, and looking forward to many more weeks ahead.
First of many. So thanks for coming on, Todd.
No problem. So I'll talk to you guys soon.
And if you want to find our podcast, obviously we've got it on SoundCloud. It'll publish every week there.